The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Epiphany is from Jeremiah chapter 17. Thus says the Lord, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. This is the word of the Lord." The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is the word of the Lord."
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the sixth chapter. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on the disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and spurn your name as evil, on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. This year marks the 50th anniversary of Charles Schulz's Peanuts, where we've been introduced to Lucy, Linus, Schroeder, and of course my favorites, Snoopy and Woodstock. And Charles Schulz wrote a book, Happiness is a Warm Blanket. Because you know Linus always carried the blue blanket wherever he went, and he couldn't function without it. Just sidebar, the only time Linus gives up his blanket is in the Christmas special when he reads from Luke chapter 2. He says, "Fear not," and he drops the blanket. Excuse me. Everybody has things that make them feel secure. In our gospel lesson, Jesus talks about happiness. He's surrounded by a large crowd of people, and there's always a large crowd wherever Jesus went. Last week's gospel lesson, he had to get into Peter's boat to preach because the people were pressing so hard on him that he had to go out onto the water to preach. But he came and he healed the sick, the crippled, the troubled mind, the demon-possessed, and those who had evil spirits. They had heard what Jesus could do for them. They even tried to touch him. There's one of the Gospels, and it slips my memory which one, records the account of the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' cloak and was healed. And Jesus said, "Who touched me? For I felt power leave me." But he came to heal them. Did Jesus make the people happy? Well, sure he did. But Jesus did not say in our gospel lesson, "Happy are those who have a lot of money," or "Happy are those who have plenty to eat and dine in fancy restaurants." He didn't even say, "Happiness is a warm blanket." What he did say is, "When you follow me, happiness will come. Leap for joy. A great reward awaits you in heaven." Jesus' teachings, by the way, were very radical in comparison to the teachings of the Pharisees. Jesus' teaching gives us a window into what God considers values and priorities. He says, "Blessed are those who are poor, hungry, who are hungry now, who weep, who are hated, who were excluded." And he warned those who were rich, who were full, who were happy, who were popular. Jesus went against the conventional wisdom. We even as a society, seem to be impressed with athletes and movie stars. I always love when a movie star comes out and talks about politics. They're a professional liar. They take on a role that's not them, pretend it is, so they're lying. This is the Middle Ages thought coming through here. So why are we going to pay attention to them anyways? But Jesus' rules for living are revolutionary. Most people do not like rules. But imagine life without rules. Imagine driving on the roads without rules. There's a story that a missionary went to an island, and he was being driven around by this man. And when they came up to a red light, the guy floored it and went through. The missionary's holding his seat like, "What did he just do?" Came up to a green light, and he slams on the brakes. Comes to a red light, he speeds through it. Finally, the missionary says, "What are you doing? You speed through red lights, you stop for green lights. What are you doing?" And he says, "My brother might be coming the other way." These teachings of Jesus tell us how to live to fulfill Jesus' mission. Blessed, by the way, does not mean happiness. Happiness is, though, a gift from God. We do not earn blessings by what we do. We need them, and God takes notice. It says, "Those who weep will receive God's favor." Blessed has the idea of, you got God's attention now. We are valued. We are important because he created us and made us in his own image. From conception to death, we are important to God. The world, as I said, only pays attention to the rich and the famous, and they look down upon the poor. But Jesus came to turn the world upside down. Poor means more than just financially poor. It means poor in spirit. Poor, they depend on God. When you're rich, you're comfortable with your wealth. You don't need anything else, because wealth will make you happy. In Luke's gospel, only God can align our lives to make us whole and healthy and give us a life worth living. Poor financially don't have to be worried about their daily bread. For the poor, power is just a temporary thing. Being poor means you are freed from the need to maintain human structures of power. They're free to redefine power, ideas of what is healthy, what is life-affirming, and what is valuable. Jesus says, "Blessed are the hungry, for they shall be filled." Many of Jesus' teachings were talking about the here and now. Blessings are all about the kingdom of God. When Jesus talks about the poor, the hungry, the weeping, they're in a better position to respond to God rather than those who are stable, have riches, and personal well-being. They're not hindered by prosperity or self-sufficiency. If we understand Jesus' rules for life, we might not feel disappointed. Why? We can't keep all of his rules. Now, we could be like the Pharisees and take pride that since our childhood we have kept all the rules. But even the Pharisees looked for loopholes in Moses' law. Knowing and keeping the rules does not mean keeping others out. The Pharisees excluded people, and those were the very people that Jesus made a point of going to visit and to eat with. Jesus did not exclude those who broke the rules. The kingdom of God was open to all who believe. Because we know Jesus, quote, rules, the Holy Spirit points out our sin and calls us to repent. Without rules, we cannot repent, and we would be lost to sin. The only sin that cannot be forgiven is called the sin against the Holy Spirit. That's rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit at the point of death. But if we live for God, we will face adversity. Jesus assures us of that. Many of us have faced troubles, and Jesus warns about that. But we can give our troubles to him and rest. We will be healed in God's time, not ours. Even when persecuted, we continue to witness to what Christ has done. We love even those who hate us, who are critical of us, or reject us. Jesus does not tell us to accept persecution gracefully, but to rejoice. Talk about flipping things around. When you're persecuted, you are to rejoice, because that's exactly what was done. The persecution was done to the prophets. Jesus offers us what's known as the Beatitudes. The blessed are those who. We can either accept those Beatitudes or the world's Beatitudes. God blesses the poor, the hungry, the weeping. All of those have a spiritual meaning of those who thirst for God. They will be filled at God's banquet table. When we come to worship, we come down broken, bloody, and a hungry people. We feast on God's word. We get up and we get going as God directs our paths. Instead, we should ask ourselves, what did God say to me? What would God do with me. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.